Star Wars went wild as expected at the box office this past weekend, netting somewhere in the area of $220 million. I hear that's not bad.
Yeah, not too shabby.
I hear that's pretty good. I hear who also is pretty good is Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood insider, and he joins us right now. Michael, a pleasure to have you on, my friend. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me back, guys.
Well, without putting out any spoilers, what have you heard about this Star Wars movie after that incredible opening at the box office?
Well, you certainly said it. It had an insanely good opening weekend. Really no surprise there. But, you know, the reaction so far has really been a little mixed. Critical reaction has been almost unanimously positive. I think a lot of critics really enjoyed the film, gave it some really high marks, and kind of praised the risk that it took, especially in comparison, again, with no spoilers, in comparison to The Force Awakens. But if anybody looked on the internet this weekend, you might have seen a much more mixed reaction from actual moviegoers. You had kind of a mixture of this is great, the best Star Wars movie ever, to, you know, how could they do this? How can they ruin such a franchise? And you know, really, I think, first of all, Disney has to be watching that and saying, well, we don't care. We just made $220 million either way. But I think that what you kind of see is that this movie and this franchise is so personal to so many people, thanks to the original trilogy that's been around now with us for so long and through a number of generations, that I think there's such a fervent fan base that, you know, you're not going to please everybody, but for the most part, it was a really overwhelmingly positive response to the movie itself, and really, you should see no signs of the Star Wars cinematic universe as it is slowing down anytime soon.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, Michael. You bring up the fact that people on social media got a little harsh with it. I noticed some of that while I was on there, too, and I got to wondering, is it just a fact that, I mean, the original Star Wars movies have been talked up to us by our parents, by our siblings, that it's almost created an impossibility to kind of reach that same magnitude for the fan?
Absolutely. I think it sets the bar so incredibly high. And especially after the prequels that George Lucas made, which certainly disappointed a majority of the people that saw them, I think the bar is just so high and the expectations are just so sky high that, you know, for a lot of people, Star Wars is their favorite movie and is a very personal film for them. And so when you go in sort of expecting to get that immediate feeling again and it doesn't come that can be a little unnerving. So I think that's the biggest problem that the franchise really has working for itself is that as much of a problem of being too loved can be that just they have such a fervent base from those original films that it can be hard to kind of capture that immediate love and infatuation that those do.
Did you see it? Have you gone to see it yet?
I am seeing it tomorrow. I can't wait. I have stayed away from the internet as much as possible to avoid spoilers, but I'm going in with good expectations and expecting to have a good time.
See, I want to see it this week, and that's the problem with a movie coming out so close to Christmas. You have so many obligations, and it gets so tough to see it. So I'll see it at some point, but I'm going to have to avoid the internet until I actually do see it. But it's going to be a while before I get around to it. But I can't wait because you're right. It seems like the reviews have just been so incredibly mixed. Like people, I've spoken to some people who said I was mad walking away from the movie theater. I spoke to other people that said, "Oh my God, that was so awesome!" And like I have to go see it again. Like I've got to go see it a second time. So it's incredible just how mixed it is.
Yeah, and I think too, you know, one of the interesting things here that I've kind of been hearing. When The Force Awakens came out, one of the big criticisms that it got was that it stayed, it was too comfortable, that it mirrored the first Star Wars movie a little too much and leaned on very similar stories and similar themes. And then people were upset about that. And now I'm hearing with the new one that they took risks and tried new things, and people are upset about that. So I think it's sort of just a matter of what these movies mean to you, how you're going to kind of perceive it in the end. But I'm very excited to see it, and I think it's going to be fun either way.
Kind of makes you wonder if in the 1970s they had social media, if Star Wars would be considered the big hit it is today.
True. Yeah. That's a good question. Yeah, absolutely.
Something to think about, no doubt about it. Again, we're talking with Michael Warshauer, our Hollywood insider here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Moving away from Star Wars for just a moment here, the 2018 Screen Actors Guild Award nominees were announced. Any favorites or any surprises on that list?
Well, I think there were a couple of big winners and losers that came out of this. And the SAG Awards are usually a pretty good indicator, obviously, of how the acting categories for the Academy Awards are going to shake out, but also kind of how the films themselves are taken in by the Hollywood community. Usually a film that does really well in the SAG Award nominations tends to also then do well in categories like directing and best picture and whatnot. So there were a few surprises. I think the big winners were Lady Bird and Get Out, which both didn't do so great at the Golden Globe nominations. I think they were both snubbed a little bit, but had been really big critical favorites and had a lot of really, really good award season buzz around them. But they both picked up a lot more awards with the SAG, or nominations with the SAG Awards. So I suspect that that will help it get more momentum as we get closer and closer to Academy Award nominations. And then Three Billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri was also a big winner. I think it surprised a lot of people with its number of Golden Globe nominations, and it kind of carried that strength moving forward. So those are really like the three movies that I think came out of this ahead of where they were. As far as the three kind of bigger losers through this, a little bit surprising to see a lack of nominations for The Post, Steven Spielberg's new movie with Tom Hanks, Meryl Streep, and then just a murderer's row of supporting actors. Really, like, just on paper, has one of the most outstanding casts of the awards season. But they picked up no nominations.
Wow.
Part of that might be because it just hasn't screened a lot yet. It's still kind of early in its run for it, but still very surprising, especially with its two leads being such big Oscar favorites normally, for them to get no nominations at all. And also a big kind of surprise was the film Call Me By Your Name, which has been doing really well leading up to awards season. It did not do very well in the Golden Globe nominations, and again, kind of didn't live up to expectations as far as the SAG Awards. So I think a little disappointing for that film. It'll be interesting to see how Oscar voters respond to it. That was kind of a big favorite going into the year, but certainly a disappointing showing for them, at least with the SAG Awards.
Got to ask you about something that I read about this morning. So BBC is ordering a Harvey Weinstein documentary, mm-hmm. a Harvey Weinstein documentary. Now, boy, given the current climate in this country, is this too soon? Like, you feel like someone's going to say, hey, hang on, maybe we should pump the brakes on this? I mean, while there might be a bit of an appetite to see something like this come out, to see how it all unfolded, you feel like this is being done a bit too soon?
I don't think so. I think, from the standpoint of the motion picture industry and just like the entertainment industry in general, I think that it actually will be a really massive film, and I think very important to the kind of the change that's happening in the industry here. I remember talking to you guys a couple months ago, and I think it was like the day or two after the beginning of the Harvey Weinstein news broke, and I remember saying, he'll be back. He's not gonna, this is Hollywood is known for letting people slip by with this. And since then, I am so happy to have been proven dead wrong and seeing so many of these men who have really taken advantage of their power kind of finally meet the consequences for that. And you've seen a really big shift, especially even just here in the city of Los Angeles, seeing a pretty massive shift in the way people are talking about the industry and talking about sexual harassment and sexual assault. And, I would hate for once things sort of quiet down for that industry to kind of go back to its old ways. So I think in that regard, it's a really great way to kind of keep this conversation going, especially in light of some of the things that we've already started to learn about him through reporting. And I believe the New York Times and the New Yorker have both kind of uncovered how he used spies and had like a whole network of people covering for him. And he's, you know, far and away the biggest name in the industry to kind of go down, but he's also not the only one. So in a lot of ways, I think it's very positive in kind of continuing and carrying on the changes that we're seeing. I do think that it is still kind of like keeping, the conversation going. It can have some negative effects, but I think for the most part, it's good as far as affecting change in a place where it's desperately needed.
Well, and along those same lines, all the money in the world had to be redirected because of all the things going on with Kevin Spacey. Can you explain how impressive it is that Christopher Plummer was able to shoot that in only 9 days? I mean, that blew me away when I heard about that. If you could kind of expand on that and talk about how truly impressive that is.
It's insanely impressive for a number of reasons. I think I had read that when Kevin Spacey shot his parts for the movie, it actually took him about 14 days for them to shoot it, about 2 weeks, which makes sense for as much screen time as I hear his character is in there. But so to be able to, first of all, cut that down from 14 days into 9 is pretty amazing in its own right. That means you really have to kind of like grind, and I'm sure there were overtime hours in there, but it takes a lot just to cut out 1 day from shooting. Taking out 5 is just massively impressive in itself. But so much had to go into this. Not only did they have to, you know, recast Christopher Plummer and get him involved, but they had to make sure that Michelle Williams and Mark Wahlberg could come back to shoot their scenes that they needed to do with him. They had to make sure that all of the locations that they filmed in with Kevin Spacey in the original version were still available so that they could go back there. And they did all of this shooting in London and I believe Paris as well. So there was an international element to all of this. And it just is unbelievable. Ridley Scott, the director, would basically shoot all day and then spend all night with his editor cutting the scenes together so that they wouldn't miss a beat. And it's miraculous that this movie is, they were able to turn it around and get it. I think they're coming back on their, they're on their original premiere date, if not maybe 1 or 2 days after. So they really didn't get delayed at all. And I know from working at a much, much lower level in the industry that it's very hard to get things done ahead of schedule and to condense things in a short amount of time. So it's incredibly impressive to do that on a film of such massive scale.
Yeah, I mean, the way you described that, going from 14 days down to 9, that just sounds absolutely remarkable. Well, Michael, we appreciate the time as always. You were telling me off air that you were only have a couple days left in this country in this calendar year. So safe travels to you, my man, and have a great holiday season.
Thank you. You too. I appreciate it.
All righty. Michael Warshauer, our Hollywood insider, joining us. Great stuff from Michael there. Mm-hmm. And